Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to another episode of The Other Identity. I am your main host, Robbie Landis. Whoa. Of course, the great Landis.
Main host?
What?
I felt very, very aggressive.
Right.
Very aggressive.
Yeah. Let me get to you. But of course, along with me, as always, is the other main host.
Yes.
Ben Morris.
How can you have two main hosts?
Awesome.
If there's only two, we're
both the main hosts.
If there's only two of us, why do we need to distinguish? We're just the hosts.
We're still the main ones.
Don't overthink it.
Look, I think maybe you need to not be so insecure.
Maybe you're right.
But along with us today, if you recognize that third laugh, we have a very special guest, and I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself. The Bud Man. Is it okay to call you the Bud Man?
Yeah, I'm cool with the Bud Man. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, every time we bring someone into the Other Identity family, we like to give them, you know, an alter ego, a name, because one day I will, if it's the last thing I do, make an Other Identity comic, and everyone has to have their place within it. So, Jay, do you want to maybe give everyone a little rundown, you know, a little bit of background, what it is you do, you know, maybe how you kind of got started with comics yourself?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm the co-host on Big Mom and the Wild Bunch out here in Fort Myers in Florida. And I've been a comic book fan since I've been a little kid. My dad kind of raised me with comic books, and I've carried it over into adulthood. I even have a daughter who I named Kara Zor-El after.
Yes,
Superman.
Yes,
great.
Oh my,
that's
goodness.
Always been the lifelong dream fulfilled right there. So yeah,
absolutely, you're doing it right. Jay,
how was it selling your wife on that one?
You know, when we first started dating, I told her, I go, hey, just so you know, if we ever get married and we have a child, it's going to be a girl, and her name is going to be Kara Zor-El.
There's man, no... she was the one. If she yeah. was that, if that wasn't a deal breaker on night one, then you have found yourself a keeper, my friend. Hey, I'm curious, Jay, you said you grew up reading comics. What era of comics did you grow up in?
I'm a child of the 80s,
all right.
But you know, my favorite thing, believe it or not, was Silver Age comic books. My dad told me this story when I was a kid about how his dad, he collected comic books and how he had every first issue of Marvel and his dad actually threw away all of his comic books.
Of course he did. Oh! Of course he did.
Yeah. Threw them away, gave them away to neighbor kids when he wasn't around. And he was, you know, he's always destroyed by that. And so he would take me to a comic book store when I was a kid, I would try to, you know, buy his collection back with money. So I would dig through the 50 cent box back in the day. And so, yeah, I mean, I still go into, when I go into comic book stores now, I still go into the back issues and I'll pluck out as many Silver Age as I can, you know.
That's cool, man. Wow. So you have an affinity for the Silver Age, even today? You don't find it like dated or anything like that?
Oh, I love it, man. I think the cheesier and the goofier the better. I love that kind of stuff.
don't have a conversation with Robbie about it, but you should be. You're all good.
Awesome.
Yeah, so obviously Superman is one of your favorites, right? So what is it about Superman specifically? Because Ben here is a big Superman fan as well.
You always paint me as that. I'm not a huge Superman fan. I'm just more of a Superman fan than you are, which automatically makes me live. But yes, I think Superman is a great character. Obviously, he is the most known superhero ever. So, Jay, what about Superman appeals to you?
You know, Superman to me is, he's just like, he's the big blue boy scout. You know what
yep.
I mean? He's
he's
the Jesus of superheroes.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
really he is. I mean, if you look at his whole origin story and stuff like that, I mean, there's a lot of parallels there. But, I mean, Superman to me, I guess, I don't know. I don't think I was ever the same when I saw Christopher Reeve as Superman as a child.
Absolutely,
I was like,
dude.
Wow. And I would have dreams that I was Superman. I just never stopped loving Superman. There's just something about that.
I know there's a lot of spot-on casting today in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We've talked on the show about Chris Evans and how perfect he is as Captain America. But
right.
I don't think there's any actor in the history of comic media translation who embodied the character as perfectly as Christopher Reeve did with Superman.
Oh, you're right about that. Spot on. I mean, I don't think, I don't think anyone could ever be a better Superman than Christopher Reeve. I mean, in my opinion, he was Superman.
Everyone lives in his shadow for sure. And there have been great Supermen since, but yeah, it's a hard act to follow.
I think there's something to be said about that. It's kind of like, you know, you just said Chris Evans is a perfect Captain America. It's kind of like, because he kind of embodies that whole character in his true persona, you know?
100%.
I kind of like Brandon Routh as Superman, too, because
right.
he... he kind of honors the character a lot in his everyday life. And, you know, I think that's when you play a character like that is something.
There's some responsibility involved.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So normally here on the first segment, before we get into what we're talking about, which today it is another return to the news hole, the news bag, news portal. Oh. I always forget what we settled on calling
you know,
it. I'm sorry.
We came to a tense negotiation that news bag was okay, but when you try to pass it off to news hole, news portal, I'll take. It sounds unwieldy, but whatever it is, at least it doesn't sound disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so before we get onto that, though, I did want to talk about some of the stuff that we've been reading lately. Of course, I've been trudging through another kind of rough spot in the DC Rebirth Era Challenge. I'm going through the Doom Patrol, which is fine. I think I have one more issue to go, and the characters are all right. You know, I'm somewhat invested now. But, you know, when it comes to Doom Patrol or Cave Carson or Shade the Change Girl, which was probably the one I liked the most, these, like, just weird, wacky, psychedelic, random stuff in, like, the art style that doesn't really explain itself. It's just weird for the sake of being weird. I just have so much trouble getting through those.
Now, when I told you yesterday, I made it known to you that the guy writing Doom Patrol is the same guy who did Umbrella Academy, is the same guy from My Chemical Romance. Did that change your opinion at all?
No, I think it's mostly just, like at its core, the story that's being told is fine. But then when you just start to add in all the other random things, that's where it gets kind of weird for me. Because even Cave Carson's story, like, when it was all said and done, it was fine. I just could have done without all the, like, weird sort of psychedelic stuff.
Now, that's what I like about listening to you guys, is I learn something new every day. The guy who writing Doom Patrol is in My Chemical Romance?
Yes, sir. No, Gerard Way. He was the front
from.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so you learn something new every day.
Jay, do you have any experience with the Doom Patrol, or is that a blank slate for you?
I do. Well, first of all, I watched the show and love the show. I think that's amazing.
I didn't mind the show either. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I just went and picked up, I found in the old Silver Age bin, I picked up it's called The Greatest Adventure.
My Greatest Adventure. Yeah.
My Greatest Adventure number 82. It's got a great cover. It's got Robot Man melting on the cover. It's pretty cool. I do like Doom Patrol. Yeah,
I think those Silver Age Doom Patrol stories are probably the best, because like you actually kind of bring it full circle what you were saying earlier. Doom Patrol is a concept that fits perfectly when it's like as goofy as possible. So it both doesn't surprise me that Robbie doesn't like the Doom Patrol, but also just the idea that the Doom Patrol. No, I don't even say that to be a diss. I think we all have our own tastes and we're all entitled to them. But I don't think Doom Patrol with their kind of like. Eccentric Silver Age trappings is something that necessarily translates to the type of reader that Robbie is, which he's entitled to.
So what have you been reading recently, Jay?
You know what? I just started reading DC's Death Metal. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Ooh. I've been waiting to get into that. I think it's still quite a bit down our reading list.
We're years away.
Yeah. Well, you might be years away.
I think even you are years away from getting to Metal. That's quite a ways in. But you know what? Mm-hmm. What you do with your time is your business.
Yeah. And Ben, go ahead, Jay.
Well, I was just going to say, I heard one of you guys just finished reading Miles Morales, the whole Miles Morales.
We both
Morales
did. Thing. Well, you read the whole Miles Morales. I got caught up.
So, so I'm caught up, I think, on issue 13.
Awesome. That's what I love about comics. So you can't possibly read everything. So you can always go back and enjoy some of the past issues. Miles.
So, Ben, you're getting into Trinity now.
I wrapped the first arc of Trinity. I'm
you
actually
did. So what did you think?
Loved it. What a breath of fresh air. I mean, we just said our best and worst of Rebirth episode last week, which of course you guys can check out if you haven't listened to yet. But I would add Trinity to the list of best by far. I think I talked a little bit about it last week, but Francis Manapul, man, he stuck the landing of doing a great first story that gave equal footing to Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. His art, of course, I already knew was phenomenal. Clay Mann and Emma Lupacino help out on some of the issues, and they keep up the quality. There's cool Poison Ivy stuff, cool Mongol stuff. It was perfect. It was everything I want out of a book starring those three characters, which I don't think is necessarily the easiest thing to pull off, but this really hit the sweet spot.
All right, well, coming up here next in just a minute, guys, we're going to read some of the latest headlines that have been popping up across the world of comics, and that is with our news portal bag hole.
backstagecountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at backstagecountry.com.
Hey, what's up? It's James.
And Robbie.
Hey, and it's Weird Beard.
And we're bringing you a brand new radio show called Checkpoint XP.
You don't have to be an expert, even though I am, and we're here to give you everything you need to know about the world of video games.
Interviews from the biggest professionals and your everyday gamers, we've got you covered at Checkpoint XP.
Whether you're a professional player or somebody who hasn't played in a while, we have something for everybody.
Hang out with us at Checkpoint XP every single week on your radio.
Find out where we're playing in your hometown at our website, checkpointxp.com.
So if you're looking to have some fun and talk about video games,
we got the rundowns for things that matter to you.
Checkpoint XP.
Your home for esports and gaming.
You got it that time.
Yes.
Nailed it.
For the latest in Overwatch League action, check out The Owl's Nest with me, Robbie Landis, and my co-host, Jake Lyon. For new episodes every Friday at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Thanks for sticking with us, everyone, and thank you for downloading The Other Identity. If you haven't already, suggest to a friend that they check us out. Send a link right to them and then quiz them on whether or not they listen to at least the first 5 minutes of it.
And then let that decide whether your friendship continues.
That's right. Of course, we do have a guest here with us today. We have Jay, a.k.a. Budman, joining us, who has been listening to our podcast for a while now. I love to hear that, and we're so thankful
that
you're able to give us some of your time today.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, guys. It's cool.
All right, so some of these headlines here are pretty interesting. Some of them are pretty facepalm worthy as well. But we're going to start with what I'm most excited for, but we'll probably never see come to fruition. Marvel now has the rights for Alien vs. Predator.
Whoa.
This is pretty exciting news. I mean, obviously, Marvel has been collecting licenses over the past couple years, big things that have been done in the past by other companies. It started with Star Wars, it continued on with Conan, and now they've got Alien and Predator. Also, when I just a little side bit of news, Robbie and Jay, when I looked at the story where they revealed the teaser art for the announcement, it was done by David Finch, who is noteworthy as he's been doing Batman for the past few years, but before that he was a huge artist at Marvel doing Ultimatum, New Avengers, Ultimate X-Men. So that was kind of a quiet little homecoming of sorts. Like, he went over to DC, and I think this might signal maybe he's headed back to Marvel. But as far as Alien Predator, I love this because I love seeing Marvel put top-tier talent on books like Star Wars and Conan, and I'm excited for them to do the same with Alien Predator. And by the way, they can say all they want that these characters are not going to interact with the Marvel Universe, and I get that.
Oh, screw that. I want a crossover.
I get that Star Wars is its own thing, but look at what happened.
Sure, I get
that. The minute they got Conan, he's on an Avengers team. This is not going to stay separated for that long. I have full confidence we will see Avengers, Aliens, Predator at some point, and I am all for it.
All right, so really quick, if you could pitch an Alien vs. Predator Marvel story, what would it be? For me, I want to see Alien and Carnage versus Predator and Venom.
If I'm going to pitch a quick one, it's going to be Punisher. Punisher gets trapped on the alien planet, and basically it's a three-way showdown between Frank Castle and the Punisher, while aliens are also trying to wipe him out.
All right, Jay.
Why not throw in some vampires? Have a blade pop
in. Why not?
That'd be kind of cool, right?
Blade makes everything better.
Love it. All right. DC has also said, or at least there have been some rumors, that a Zatanna film is in the works. Is this something that you guys are excited about, or more like cautiously, I don't know, DC, you ruin almost everything you touch?
I need to know more. It's too soon to judge. If we're going just by characters, Zatanna's a great character, but like you said, DC does not have a spotless track record when it comes to adapting their characters. This could be, If we get more of a Wonder Woman, then that would be awesome. If we get more of a, you know, Suicide Squad, I am not here for it. So I'm gonna take a cautious wait and see. Tell me who's playing Zatanna. Tell me who's directing. Tell me who's writing. Then I will pass judgment.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They can't even seem to get their core heroes to work on film. So I'm not too optimistic about a Zatanna movie. But
I will say this, though, Jay, that I think they actually do better with the more off...
With lesser known.
Yeah, with the more off-beat characters. I mean, look at, like, Aquaman, obviously, is a cultural icon in some ways, but doesn't have the track record, or Shazam doesn't have the track record of a Superman or Batman. It feels true. Like when they're removed from that crushing pressure of this is one of the most well-known superheroes in the world, it almost helps out. But again, then I point to Suicide Squad to show that isn't always the case.
I had somebody somewhere on Twitter, I forget who it is, so whoever you are out there, I'm sorry, I would attribute this to you, but I don't remember your name, pointing out that they would love to see a movie that involved both Keanu Reeves and Matt Ryan.
Ooh.
As Constantine,
yeah.
And bringing both of them in as, like, you know, maybe Zatanna Smell cracks the multiverse, mm-hmm. and she has to deal with Ooh. Two Constantines vying for her attention. Yeah, I'd go for that movie right there.
Yeah, I'm down for anything multiverse, that's great.
Well, speaking of which, something else we've heard rumors of is that DC wants to reboot the Justice League movie franchise with a rebirth film.
So when we first talked about this, I was very against it because I was like, just get your freaking house in order, DC. But the more I've thought about it, the types of stories I like from DC, whether it's any big crisis story or even the crisis version they did in the Arrowverse, I like when they mess around and kind of wink to their continuity. So I've decided if this can be done right, again, just like with Zatanna, if the right talent is involved and they want to bring over some elements of what has worked, Jason Momoa, Gal Gadot, even Henry Cavill, if they want to keep those but do some sort of rebirth film that plays with the idea of DC continuity is very fluid, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to write it off entirely. If it's Zack Snyder doing another movie, then no, I don't want it. But if they get the right people involved, I don't think that we should, like, automatically say this is a terrible idea.
Well, see, I think the issue is if the plan was, look, we realize that up till now, you know, we've kind of been a little bit too loose with it. You know, it hasn't been what fans, you know, expected out of us. So we're going to try and start over. We're going to do a soft reset. You know, you could use the Flashpoint movie to sort of launch into whatever that rebirth universe looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they can't even do that because we've also been told that the new Robert Pattinson Batman movie,
yes,
is going to officially be in its own separate universe. The Dark Universe, mm-hmm. it's called.
I mean, it just seems like a total lack of leadership and vision. Mm-hmm. If you had a visionary type person, a Kevin Feige type, saying like, hey, we're going to do this soft reboot, we're going to do rebirth, and this is the plan, then I'd feel more confident. But when you have one corner saying rebirth, one corner saying Snyder Cut, one corner saying Dark Universe.
Oh, well, we'll get to the Snyder Cut.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just, there's no cohesion. And if there's no cohesion, then I I'm not.
But what better way to tie in everything than to just write it off as it's a multiverse?
Yeah.
You know, when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths on the CW and they had the movie Flash meet the TV Flash, I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Here's the thing, Jay. If I thought they had a plan that's what it's eventually going to be, like, hey, we're going to put Batman over in this universe, but the reason is because we're building to a crisis-level story, much in the same way I have a lot of faith in the guys who do Arrow and The Flash and the CW shows, and they seem to know what they were doing. I think this is just a case of people being like, well, this works and this works and this works, and we're not going to worry about how they're going to come together in the end.
I think,
to Jay's point, though, if you looked at the way that they handled the majority of their animated universe, too, obviously there was some continuity and some a universe there as well. But for the most part, I think when people go to watch the animated movies, they kind of accept the fact that this is just in its own sort of little bubble. There's nothing that comes before. There's nothing that comes after. They just treat it as a one adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the things that helps a lot of people, get into the animated universe.
I think with DC, the plan is to not have a plan.
Absolutely.
Just throw a bunch of things at the wall and see what sticks, you know?
Yep. Speaking of throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks, despite the movie not even being out yet, HBO has ordered a Batman spinoff from the Robert Pattinson one
Gotham PD, which we just got done with
Gotham. Yeah.
Yeah, we just had that.
If they use the Greg Rucka, Ed Brubaker Gotham Central series, which came out in the early 2000s and was honestly one of the just best comics of the era because it was so different. And it was a police procedural. If they use that as a base, and I've read no reports that is the plan. This is me telling DC, here's what you should do. Use that comic as a base because Gotham was its own whole separate thing. But if you use Gotham Central and just retitle it Gotham PD, I'm there for it. It's a good diagram of how to do this series. I think there's a place for a HBO series about the police operating in Gotham. I just want them to use some good source material.
And some good news, there is a rumor that Marvel wants to reboot The Punisher, but still use John Bernthal.
No, I would be down for that.
I think that we've talked about this before, Robbie, when we've talked about the idea that if they use Daredevil in the cinematic universe, we want it to be Charlie Cox. There's no reason. I know that there's some, and we'll never fully know the story between like what happened with the Netflix shows and why everything blew up. But as far as there are elements of that Netflix universe, whether it's Charlie Cox, John Bernthal, Vincent D'Onofrio, Kristen Ritter, there's no reason not to bring that over. It's already set in the cinematic universe. So by all means.
The only worry that I have is because they talk about the idea of rebooting it and not wanting to use the Netflix stuff as canon.
Right.
They're obviously not going to tell the same story. And so my fear is that they might try to go in a different direction and not capture that same level of humanity that they were actually able to, for once, capture in The Punisher.
I mean, they've tried Punisher so many times and it's gone wrong so many times that you would think that given that the Bernthal show was pretty beloved, you would try to keep as much of that as possible, but who knows?
Keanu Reeves is launching his own comic book series through Boom Studios, which is where our friend Arun works. Since Boom Studios is proud to announce Berserker, a 12-issue limited series from the iconic Keanu Reeves. The story is that it's a brutally violent new series about one immortal warrior's fight throughout the ages, and that will debut sometime October 2020. Is there anything that Keanu Reeves isn't doing this year?
Yeah, I like anything with Keanu Reeves, though.
Yeah, me too. I'm already in, for sure.
If Keanu Reeves can pull off a Bill and Ted sequel in 2020, then I'm not going to doubt him on any front. If he wants to make a comic, then hey, man, come on in. The water's great.
All right, so the final headline that we have here is that the Snyder Cut is not going to be considered canon to the DC Universe.
Does it not just feel like Zack Snyder is...
Why do it?
Number one, why do it? We're there. But is Zack Snyder not just stacking the deck so when this inevitably does fail, he has every excuse in the book to be able to say, like, well, they still didn't do it my way. You know, they didn't consider
it. I don't know. Because he also said that he would rather blow the whole fucking thing up than use even a single frame shot by Joss Whedon. So if the Snyder Cut ends up not going over as well as people think that it should or that it will,
it's all him.
I don't think he's going to have any.
He doesn't have a leg to stand on.
I really hope he doesn't use any of Whedon's footage now.
Me
because
too.
When it ends up, because I'm actually curious to see the parts of the script that I actually thought, oh man, that could have worked. Like the idea behind that was actually brilliant. If those aren't in this movie now, oh, I'm gonna have a field day with it.
Yeah.
I might be the lone wolf in the room on this one, but I'm pretty excited about the Snyder Cut.
I do.
I know you guys were upset when he announced Dick Grayson was the Robin that died, but. The Justice League that we got was an abomination, in my opinion. there are guys in their home PCs that could do a better job at taking away Henry Cavill's mustache than they did in that movie. I was like,
I'd like to see them get a crack before Zack Snyder takes another shot at it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I will agree with you guys. I think he missed the boat on the whole Dick Grayson is the Robin that died. They should have made that Jason Todd and explained away that terrible Joker we got in Suicide Squad as that's Jason Todd and not the actual Joker.
Ooh, that's a cool idea.
So look,
if in somehow the Snyder Cut comes out and it's amazing, like, I'm not going to be hurt because then we just have more great content, right? But I am definitely erring on the side of being cautiously optimistic here. But that's it for all of the headlines that we have. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about Comic-Con, the whole stay-at-home, online-only Comic-Con that we got this year, and how it compares to Comic-Cons of the past. That's coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Oh, we have an unprecedented outbreak.
Thousands of us walking the earth.
We might die at any moment.
Because we're under attack.
In which case, we must act fast.
Doctors are trying their best.
Working long hours and...
always sacrificing.
Their health.
To protect you.
Well, I'd very much like to thank them.
Thanks, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Wait a minute.
What's the prognosis?
It's... still changing.
So we have a novel virus and no vaccine at this time.
What should we do?
We gotta get everybody else back into the houses. We gotta keep them there.
In other words,
this is our lockdown, right? What that means is
stay in your homes, make no attempt to reach loved ones,
and take a long nap.
You can count me out.
You can count me out too.
Some people are immune to good advice.
You know what I mean?
Those idiots.
I just need to make sure you fully understand.
Let's recap.
I'm begging you.
Stay inside.
Wash your hands.
And make sure you've
got 10 feet of personal space around you.
Stay away from me. Stay away from me.
I didn't hear you wash your hands.
So think on this, lads.
When you're home watching TV.
Think about the
medical stuff.
Working for you. So I'm asking you.
Stay home.
In isolation.
To stop the virus.
All right, I'll do it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You stay classy. Planet Earth.
Students are playing more video games than ever, and that's not a bad thing anymore. With Checkpoint XP on campus, you can peek into the world of college esports and gaming. We talk to personalities in the space like Phasix, who retired from the Overwatch League to join a college team, or thought leaders like James O'Hagan of the Academy of Esports, who's leading the charge on blending education and video games. It's not all black holes and floss dances. Games can lead to college scholarships, and we can tell you where on Checkpoint XP on campus.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for today's Other Identity. It's Comic-Con month, and I feel like we should be way more hyped than what I actually am. Now, obviously, because of the whole, you know, COVID-19 situation, Comic-Con couldn't happen. So, like a lot of conventions, they've done the Comic-Con at home, Comic-Con online, which has been free to everyone to be able to view. But I have to say, as a result, there has been a very, very distinct lack of big announcements over this month.
I think a lot of that, Robbie, just observing kind of the trends, is that if you look at Comic-Con over the past 20 years, and I went to my first, and we're talking San Diego Comic-Con International, obviously, but I went to my first Comic-Con.
Obviously.
I went to my first Comic-Con in 2004, and it was already at that point becoming very much a showcase for movies and TV, with comics being kind of pushed to the back burner. And sure, the evolution over the last 15 years was more and more of that. If you were a TV show or a movie or any sort of big media thing, you had to debut at Comic-Con. It basically became a place for Hollywood to show their wares. And there was still a great artist alley where you could get comic book stuff. There was still plenty of comic book panels, but comic books did become kind of an afterthought. And what I observed with Comic-Con at home is, I don't think necessarily the big movie and TV studios felt like they needed to be a part of Comic-Con at home. Mm-hmm. And what it ended up being was kind of a throwback to very, very comics heavy. But the result of that makes it seem like there was no big announcements this year because there was no big movie and TV stuff. I think there was a lot of comic book stuff, but I think that's not in 2020. That's not what people are expecting, ironically, from something called Comic-Con. So it seems like it was a slow event, but I was actually very happy with it.
Jay, have you had a chance to attend any of the Comic-Cons?
I take my daughter to Comic-Con every year.
Nice.
I'm the only one who hasn't been to an official Comic-Con.
That's okay. We still like you.
I love Comic-Con. I have to say, I didn't see any of the panels that they did. I know they put some on YouTube and stuff, but from what I read, the fact that they closed out comments and stuff like that, I mean, there's no fan interaction. I'm like, that's what it's all about. So I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, look, I mean, I get it. You know, even all the movies, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, WandaVision, Black Widow, I think has been delayed or maybe pushed back again indefinitely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's what I had read for sure yet or not. So I get that it doesn't make sense necessarily on the same timeline to announce sort of upcoming stuff, right? But obviously, eventually, you are going to announce those things, and I think that Marvel missed an opportunity here because people are starving for more content right now, and I think that you don't lose anything by announcing whatever it was you were going to announce online instead, because it's not like you're going to wait till next Comic-Con to start announcing that stuff, right? Because a bunch of the Disney Plus series are going to have came out. Black Widow will have came out. We may even have seen, I think,
Eternals.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse.
Eternals was next.
Eternals. Yeah, so I think that you're just going to end up probably announcing those. I mean, maybe at the D23 Expo. I'm not sure if that's going to end up happening or if that's before when the next Comic-Con would be. But I think that that whatever announcements that they're going to make, they'd probably end up making online somewhere in the future anyway. So, you know, just give people a little taste of what it is that we're craving right now. Let us know what's coming up.
I'm actually interested to see how they do New York Comic-Con, which I believe is in October, because that's obviously it's not as big as San Diego, but it is, to my knowledge, the second largest Comic-Con.
Yep.
And obviously New York has traditionally been the more comic-centric show because not as many Hollywood properties go there. I'm interested to see if, because I do strongly feel that New York Comic-Con will not take place as a live event. I do think it will be another virtual event. I'm interested to see, one, the lessons they learn as far as the stuff Jay was saying is like comments and fan interaction. If they learn from the mistakes of Comic-Con, because I mean let's be fair, the San Diego folks had to pull this together pretty rapidly. I'm wondering if with a little bit more time to prepare, does New York Comic-Con do a better job? But also, do some of the movie and TV people who took Comic-Con off start scrambling and saying, you know what, we got to get our stuff out there, the same as you were just saying, Robbie, and do we see more movie and TV announcements at New York Comic-Con?
Yeah, well, I hope so. If that is the case, I will be keeping more of an eye on New York Comic-Con than I did on San Diego Comic-Con. But guys, that's going to be all that we have today for The Other Identity. Jay, I'd like to thank you once again for joining us here. You are welcome back anytime.
Awesome. I appreciate that, guys. I would love to come back. I had a great time.
All right. Otherwise, guys, that's going to be it for us. Make sure that you tune in next week. Same Other Identity time, same Other Identity channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.